Welcome to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking with Miss Flat, Miss Mary Flat from CHS, a teacher and dance coach. So introduce yourself. Tell me a little bit about you.
Well, yes, like you said, my name is Mary Flat, and I'm the dance teacher at Cookeville High School. Been there since 2007. I teach six dance classes a day, and we have levels 1 through 4, and I teach some of the best and brightest.
Okay, so I'm going to be educated today because I don't know enough about what you do.
Okay.
And at Tech, we offer license in almost everything education related. So I'm interested to hear, and I'm sure the listeners will be too, a little bit about how you got there.
Sure.
and what that looks like on a day-to-day basis. But let's start with, because it's my show and I get to ask the questions, your favorite teacher growing up.
I have a lot of favorite teachers. But the one that stands out to me was my first grade teacher, Miss Joyner. And I had a really rough kindergarten year. I was really shy. I was one of the younger kids. I cried every single day. And she did not let a kid leave class without giving them a hug goodbye. And so that really stands out. She was just so sweet. And actually, when I graduated high school, she kept tabs on everybody. And this was pre-Facebook. So I don't know how she did it.
Writing letters.
I know.
And
she sent every single kid that graduated from Cookeville High School that had her for first grade a congratulations card and $5.
Wow.
So she was pretty awesome.
Yep. Okay, so very, very memorable then from the first grade. So that was here in Cookeville?
That was at Parkview Elementary School.
Okay, Parkview, yep. which was
the original.
Okay,
and we were the Rockets.
The Rockets, yes.
That's going to really date me.
And they're not Rockets.
They're Rockets again.
Wait, okay.
They went from Rockets to Pandas and back to Rockets. So
okay,
yep.
Okay. I knew there was a switch in there, but I couldn't remember exactly the cycle along the way. So, well, that's fun. So. Mm-hmm. Okay, so you're from Cookeville.
I am.
Cookeville area. So how did you end up teaching?
Well, I had really no idea what I was going to do in college. I just had no clue. And I thought maybe for a while I would major in art history. So I was really great with artists and identifying paintings. And I was like, well, there we go. It's a niche and I'll try it. But I never got to take an art history class my freshman year. And I was actually at the University of the South at Sewanee.
Mm-hmm.
And just not doing well socially, and got involved with their dance group, which was called Perpetual Motion. And did that and just loved it and just enjoyed dancing. And I had done this all through high school and when I was a kid. And I went, you know what, I think I'm going to major in dance. And my parents said, no way. They said, the only way you'll major in dance is if you get a teaching license. And so I said, all right, deal. And my mom found through a friend at church, Winthrop University, which is in Rock Hill, South Carolina, you could do Common Market. So, which I don't know if you're familiar with that. They had no dance programs in the state of Tennessee at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So that meant that if I went to this school, I could pay in-state tuition there, even though it was out of state.
Hmm.
And so I went and I majored in dance education and just got really, really lucky right out of school. And the teacher at Cookeville High School who ran their dance program that I was involved in retired that year. So I just got really lucky and ended up in the classroom.
Okay. And I always ask because there is a teacher shortage,
mm-hmm.
and I'm always trying to get into the minds of people who don't come the traditional route
mm-hmm.
into teaching, because we have some people who, you know, they had that first grade teacher and then they were teaching their stuffed animals from first grade and they rolled straight in and they always knew, but then now that has switched, and
mm-hmm.
I'm sure you've noticed with teachers, we have so many more teachers who are coming from other pathways.
Right. And that's interesting that you say that. I'm actually one of the lead mentors at Cookeville High School. So I help new teachers that come to CHS kind of acclimate. And it is very oftentimes we find that people are coming without teaching licenses and they're kind of doing work embedded mm-hmm. training to get their licensure. So, yeah, it happens all the time. We see it all the time. And some of those people are the greatest teachers ever.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm. yeah, it makes a difference. And we do see, failures and successes in the people who always want to be versus the people that are jumping out of another career.
That was not me. I did not automatically want to be a teacher. So again, I just, I'm glad my parents made me get that teaching degree. I didn't really know how I'd feel about it. I actually did my student teaching in an elementary school.
Okay.
So I had no clue what high school would be like. And I went in there as a 21-year-old, which was pretty scary. And I just loved it. Like from day one, it was like, oh, okay. Sometimes my parents like they know, they're wise. Uh-huh. So this was a good call, and I still love it, which is pretty great.
Yeah, and we have a lot of people also who do come from other majors. You know, mm-hmm. they'll test the waters and they come and go in education, mm-hmm. Nursing. We get quite a few from nursing that they're like, well, I just want to help people, mm-hmm. you know, and then they realize that maybe all of that's not for them.
And want to help in a different way.
It is. I mean, you end up, you're still helping and working with people.
As a teacher, you still act like a nurse sometimes. I gave out Band-Aids all day today, which is nothing compared to what real nurses do. But
you still have to do some nursing.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you're still tending to people and working with people. So it works out. So I'm sure that there's some carryover. So had you ever, when you were doing the dancing, had you thought at some point, I'm going to dance professionally. I'm going to go follow this route.
I had a professor who had a very small contemporary company, and he had kind of put a bug in my ear. You know, when you graduate, if you can't find a teaching job, which honestly, I didn't know if I would or not, because mm-hmm. they're pretty rare mm-hmm. For dancers in a public school, which is where I wanted to be. He said, you know, there's a place for you. So that was very appealing, but there was no money or stability in it. And I wanted to be closer to home. So mm-hmm. here I am, and it was definitely the better choice for me.
Mm-hmm. And I talked to a teacher recently who she was getting ready to retire, but she had thought she was going to be, and she teaches middle school math, mm-hmm. but she's still very involved with dancing, very similar to what you've described. But she went to New York mm-hmm. like for 3 weeks or something, and she was going to pursue it. She was going to go and do the professional thing, and she came straight back to Tennessee.
Right.
She said because it was not what she wanted to do.
You know, you got to try.
Yeah, and hats off to her for making that leap. You know, from Tennessee. Now I'm assuming that there aren't very many of you in the area dance teachers.
I probably obnoxiously call myself the unicorn because I am the only one. I'm a rare breed around here. I'm the only one in the county. And there are other dance teachers in surrounding counties, not directly beside us, but there's a teacher at Lebanon High School. And if the further west you go, Memphis, their schools have quite a few dance teachers in their public schools. It's rare. I'm the only one here, and I wish there were dance teachers in all of the high schools, and I wish that there were dance teachers in the middle schools and the elementary schools, because as we were talking before, mm-hmm. I did do my student teaching in an elementary school, and those programs are amazing, and it really opens the doors. It destigmatizes dance at an early age, and especially for our young men, I feel like mm-hmm. that's really important. So, mm-hmm. yep.
Yeah, and I know that it makes it difficult not having a community. You know, even if you're a librarian, there's a dozen librarians in Putnam County, and so I know that it's easier to build a community or reach out. And I'm sure that social media, there are things that have helped you with that mm-hmm. as of late. But I imagine when you started, you know, there wasn't anyone you could just message and say, hey, how do you do this or.
The
what does this
great
look like?
Thing about Cookeville, though, is that it does have a strong dance community. So I, over the years, have had the privilege of getting to work with, I think, people from every single studio. I've worked with Leisure Services. I've taken classes there. So I know the fine folks that teach there, Jennifer Dodson-Creeder and Beth Wheeler at Stage One. I've taken class with them and performed with them as well. I grew up dancing with Andrea Camacho, who is at the center. So I just feel like I'm really lucky. And then there's a new dance studio, UC Stars, and one of my former students, Ella Grace Clopton, runs it. So I feel like we have a really strong community of dancers. So that's been really helpful. I think my first year teaching, Jennifer Dotson-Creter actually took me for coffee one day just to talk and kind of give me some insight and show me that she was supportive and if there was anything I needed. She hadn't been in that setting before as a teacher, but she'd been teaching dance for so long. She was a great advocate and a great support system.
Mm-hmm. And I just recently spoke with Renee Craig, mm-hmm. And she was explaining to me, you know, the community around mm-hmm. theater. And I imagine it's the same. It's with dance, you know, so supportive and so many people that if you do need something, if you need a certain thing, you know who to call and someone helps with that or
absolutely.
Helps with training or the choreography or whatever it is, there's the community is helpful.
Right.
In
right.
That.
Yes. And I mean, even though it's a little bit different, our clientele can be a little bit different. There is still a lot of overlap and it is great to have those resources and those people in your corner. Just having someone to talk to that appreciates what you do is a lot. It means a lot. So.
Right. Right. And that's a big deal. I mm-hmm. mean, just having that support like you didn't have in the beginning. So a few other questions. Let me start that over. I overlooked one of my questions.
Sure.
Do you have family members that teach? Did you know teaching? And we'll get a little bit into that before the break and a little after.
So not in my immediate family. My mom worked at Cookeville High School when I was growing up. She was what's called a job coach. So she was in that realm of education, but she was not a teacher. And then she became a counselor but not a school counselor. She was at a rehabilitation center. But she also worked with a lot of high school kids. So I'm familiar with it. But I have extended family members galore that are in education. I have an uncle that was a principal for forever. I have cousins that are teachers. So I come from a long line of teachers, not just in my immediate family.
Yes. And a lot of times that's what we see. We see teachers who have in the family, and it becomes a family thing.
Right.
So we're going to take a short break, and we'll come back and talk a little bit about your classroom.
All right.
Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt. Today, talking with Ms. Flatt from CHS, a teacher, dance coach. So we were talking a little bit about how you got to be a dance teacher. So let's talk about what that looks like. Let's start with just a day-to-day. What does it look like?
Oh my goodness, so much. So I do teach 6 dance classes a day. It's just like if you were to take chorus or visual art or theater or band. I get a new group of kids every 50 minutes. I have 4 different levels, dance 1, 2, 3, and 4, 4 being most advanced, obviously. And it's a little bit different than what you would see in a studio because we are going by national and state standards. So I have a lot of things I have to cover.
So how does that look different? So for those of us who aren't familiar with the inside
right.
of a studio.
Okay, so I don't necessarily have students. The biggest difference is I don't necessarily have students that have been dancing since they were little kids.
Okay.
So my collection of students is very diverse.
Mm-hmm.
I will have students that have 0 training and students that have been dancing their entire lives. I'll have students of all different physical and intellectual abilities. So it is a little bit different. On top of which, we're doing history. We're doing a lot of vocabulary. We're doing choreography projects. So a lot of things do overlap in what you would see in a studio, but there are not a lot of history lessons in a studio. So we have to cover like in dance 1, we cover the origins of ballet and they study in depth the ballet. In dance 2, they're going to go further with that and they're going to study the difference between classical and romantic ballets and how those overlap. We also do things like world dance, which is, you know, part of our standards. So they're studying dances from different cultures. And they get a little bit of everything throughout the year. So we're not just concentrating on one genre. Every single class is going to have a unit on ballet. Every class will have a unit on modern dance. Every class will have a unit on jazz. Dance 2 is special, and they have units on musical theater and tap. In the higher levels, we go really far into choreographic devices, and the kids choreograph Our Dance 4 students produce their own show. So they're the choreographers. They cast dancers in their pieces. They do costumes. They do lights. They get to learn about the technical side of a dance production. So we're covering a lot of ground in one year. It's not just, this is a ballet class. We're going to come in and we're going to do bar and we're going to do center work and we're going to go across the floor and we're going to do that all year building on those skills. We're going to try and fit a lot in a little bit of time. So that's probably the biggest and most noticeable difference.
Do you see a lot of students who stay all 4 years?
Yes.
And that's probably helpful for you.
It's wonderful. And I love them very much and we become very close. But yes, my retention rate is pretty good. And our Dance 3 class this year had like 33 kids in it.
Wow.
So they keep coming back and it's fantastic to have those same kids on repeat.
Yeah. Do you have limits? Do you ever have to go to the principal and say, listen, I can't have 50 kids in Dance 4?
No, I'm not that lucky.
Okay. Public schools.
But yeah, those upper classes do fill up, which is really nice. It's really lovely to have those same kids.
Mm-hmm. All the way through.
Yeah.
Yeah. I imagine there are opportunities for field trips.
There are. We actually took 3 this year.
Okay.
I took a group of kids to see the Nutcracker Ballet.
Mm-hmm.
Usually I try and take my upper level kids to see at least one ballet while they're with me.
Mm-hmm.
I also do a hot yoga workshop for my Dance 4 students just so that they have exposure to a different kind of movement, and they typically love that. In the past, I've taken kids to Belmont to take a college level dance course,
okay,
which was really cool, just so that they could have that experience. I think they were pretty intimidated, but
I'm sure.
But they did well. And then we also just recently, and with parent approval, please keep that in mind. Do not judge. And several parents went with us. We went to see Moulin Rouge because the dancing in it is just fantastic. And it's a different style of dance.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a lot of kids who are involved in musical theater.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was great exposure for them as well.
And I imagine that since they've learned so much in depth, that they're kind of dissecting the parts of it in the play and breaking it apart and being critical.
Well, it's just neat to see them evaluate and analyze what they're, that must have been so hard. They get it. It's not frivolous to them. They're like, that must have been really challenging to do. And, think about the core work, the core strength that it would have taken to do that particular movement. So it's pretty neat.
Yeah. And it seems to me, again, from an outsider looking in, that it has become much more physical, mm-hmm. much more athleticism than years past.
Yes, the tricks are very popular. And because we have things like TikTok and Instagram, mm-hmm. they're exposed to so much. They want, sometimes we tend to forget about the basics and the fundamentals that make a strong dancer. And we just want to be able to do the fancy tricks.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah,
this teacher has to pull them back down and say no.
Yeah, I would believe that, and it is easy, and it's like that with really anything with sports or cheerleading or any of those areas. It's so easy to see, they did that triple backflip. Mm-hmm. We can do that, and you bring them back to reality,
right?
Pretty quickly, I'm sure.
It's like, let's figure out how to use our turnout first, and then we'll build on that. Yeah.
So you do some things, you've done some things outside of the classroom over the years also, because I imagine, again, outside looking in, there's a lot of training. There's a lot of things that you would need to learn and to make those connections. But I know it's hard being a full-time teacher.
So in terms of community involvement, well, twofold here. Yes, I've choreographed several musicals outside of Cookeville High School, some for Cookeville Children's Theater, and some for just community productions. My first musical that I ever choreographed was The Music Man in 2009, and I had no clue what I was doing, but we got through it, and I think that it turned out pretty well. So that involvement is educational for me, and it allows me to work with different people, which is wonderful. But also, I'm a member of the National Dance Education Organization, and they provide online professional development. There's also the Tennessee Association of Dance. They had some issues when COVID hit, and they're trying to slowly rebuild. But before that, they provided wonderful professional development opportunities where I could meet with some of those other folks from Tennessee that teach dance in studios and in public schools. And we could go through our standards and share lesson plans. So that was a wonderful opportunity.
Mm-hmm. And I imagine that so many things have changed, but even the technology, mm-hmm. just for teaching, I know things like yeah. Magic School help you in terms of teacher prep.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a little challenging for me as a dance teacher because there are not as many of those available. But like I said, the National Dance Education Organization, they do offer some online training that can be kind of pricey. But I try to utilize that when it's available and when I can.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Well, we're going to take a short break and we'll come back and talk a little bit more about some of the things. I know that you've been working on some plays and mm-hmm. some of the yes. other things that you've been involved in.
Sure.
We'll come back and wrap that up.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Welcome back to Local Matters. I'm your host, Jeremy Wendt, talking with you with Miss Mary Flatt today. So we're talking dance. You're educating me. Because that is an area that I was unaware of. And I think, honestly, doing these interviews has been more educational for me. I hope it's been good for the listeners, but it's been more educational for me for the things that I don't know. And I love to learn. So one of the notes that I had is that you helped choreograph Mary Poppins.
I choreographed Mary Poppins, and this is actually Mary Poppins 2.0 for me because okay. I also choreographed Mary Poppins for Cookeville High School in 2015, I believe, was okay. the last time we did that show. So yeah,
you had a head start.
Yeah,
on the second round.
I knew the music. I was like, all right, we had issues with this music last time. We need to check the score. I was ready for it.
Yeah.
Yep.
So what does it look like? Explain that process to me. I mean, so first of all, so there's a couple steps there. I got a couple questions.
Sure.
So do you help? Does Mr. Schoed or does Mr. Cunningham, does anybody call you and say, this is what I'm thinking about doing. Can you help?
So
where does it start?
So Michael Schoed is our music director. And then Jennifer Welch from Cookeville Children's Theater is our artistic director.
Okay.
And they usually discuss what we're going to do a few months ahead of time. And then I just say, yes, ma'am, yes, sir.
Okay.
And we go from there. And then we have auditions and I say, I want these people. And they say, awesome, that looks good to me. And then we go from there. And I work with them to make sure, you know, I talk to Jennifer and say, where would you like movement? And she says, I want it here. And then I do it. And that's
okay.
That's it. And then we have weeks and weeks of rehearsals and we work with the talents that we have.
Okay. So did you start with just a dry erase board, a piece of paper, and like you go here and this is, I mean, like,
yeah.
I don't understand the
it
process.
Looks
it
kind
seems
of,
so complicated to me.
Sure. So it looks kind of like a football playbook.
Okay.
So I will do formations and I'll take however many kids we have and I'll use little X's or numbers. Sometimes I'll number them to denote where the kids are going to go in the formation. And then I do blocks of 8 beats.
Okay.
So we have an 8 count here, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. And this is what these kids are going to do while these kids are doing this. And I just have pages and pages and pages. And sometimes I try to type it up.
Oh,
and then remember it when I'm teaching the kids. And technology is wonderful because mm-hmm. I can record what we've done at a rehearsal and then send that out to the kids so they can practice it.
Mm-hmm.
We had a lot of snow days in January when we started rehearsals. And so I didn't want to get behind because Mary Poppins is a dance heavy show. Mm-hmm. So I would actually record myself in my living room doing the choreography with counts and then send it to them and say, this person, this person, this person, and this person, you need to learn this part. And mm-hmm. when you come in to see me next time, you got to have it.
Got to be ready.
So we can move forward.
Yeah. And I imagine the students at that level are excited about it, and they're probably fairly committed to learning this.
They are fantastic. And even kids that have very little training, you know, they're cast not always. We try to cast kids with experience that we know will do a great job. But sometimes mm-hmm. we don't have mm-hmm. as many kids as we need that are in that skill set, that have that skill set. So, you know, I'm looking for potential and I'm looking for energy. And do they have rhythm? And can we make this work? And but regardless of where they're at in their dance training, particularly with this group, they were very committed and they worked their butts off. And I was so impressed. And I really think that the final product showed that, showed their level of commitment.
Yeah. And I imagine that having that student or that you've got different groups of students that are doing different things, but, mm-hmm. but some of them have the personality and the singing voice and the dancing ability.
Yes, the triple threat.
Yes,
yeah.
And I know they just slide right to the front. But then you have all the others who play such an important role, mm-hmm. but maybe not
those
skills.
I try to share the wealth, and here's where the teacher part of me comes in. And I try to make sure that I can give students movements that they're going to be successful at, and mm-hmm. then allow them time to shine in the movements that they're going to be successful at. So my goal is not to put the top tier people in the front doing everything all the time. Mm-hmm. Like I want parents to be able to see what their child is doing. So that's the goal, is to give everybody something that they do really, really well, and then showcase that.
Mm-hmm. And so they run with it. I mm-hmm. mean, it's always, of course, you know, with me, I'm seeing the final product. You know, mm-hmm. we roll in on the night of the show, and it's like, oh, look, everything came together. That's overwhelming, to, mm-hmm. you know, to me, to think about everything that's gone in on the backside. How much does it take to bring all those things together for the shows?
So much energy, and I'm only, you know, I really feel like I'm just a small part of it. And I know that Michael and Jennifer are at the high school until all hours of the night, trying to make sure that every detail is taken care of. But it's a lot of work, trying to get that many people to do everything that they're supposed to do, and to be at all of the rehearsals that they're supposed to be at, and to practice as needed. It's a ton of work.
Mm-hmm. It's a major commitment. Mm-hmm. Now, in a perfect world, if there were dance teachers at the middle school,
it would be so nice.
Could you accomplish with that?
That has always been an issue, and I think Shane Cunningham, who's the theater arts teacher at the high school, we've had a lot of conversations about this. You know, chorus and visual art and band, they have feeder programs, mm-hmm. So they have kids that are coming in already exposed to this, so they're able to make a little bit more progress, or their class sizes are even a little bit bigger because kids know what to expect. Mm-hmm. With our classes, they've not been exposed to theater arts or dance arts, and so it's a little intimidating. Mm-hmm. And we do have to back up and start at the very beginning. And for the kids that maybe take at a private studio, you know, they have the advantage, and so they might be a little bit bored at the beginning. And I'll tell them that. I'm like, we'll get to things that are new to you, but just bear with us, because while I try to personalize as much as I can, we're all going to be learning the same thing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So it is a challenge. I would love for there to be dance arts programs in all the middle schools, and I'd love to see them in the other high schools as well. I think mm-hmm. that the collaboration could be amazing.
Yeah.
But...
Well, and finding things, and I think that having a daughter at CHS, and my two older boys also went through CHS, you have to get plugged into something.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, dance and theater and band and volleyball and lacrosse or whatever it is that you're getting plugged into, or the AV club, or, you know, coding, or, I mean, there's so many things to get plugged into, mm-hmm. and I always feel bad for the students who don't find that niche at the high school, because mm-hmm. I'm sure with the dance classes, the students love it and it's kind of becomes their thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're so much more successful when they find that niche.
Well, and I think that's the most important part of my job. I don't expect for half of these kids, I don't expect for, you know, a handful of these kids to go off and do anything dance related once they graduate high school. Luckily, I do have lots of kids, not lots. I have some kids that pursue dance as a career or go further with it in their education once they leave Cookeville High School. But that's not my goal. Mm-hmm. My goal is for them to find their community at Cookeville High mm-hmm. School. So, and I think a lot of kids do. And I think that not just my class, but I think there are so many programs within the fine arts department and the CTE department and just across the board at Cookeville High School that do that for our kids. So mm-hmm. I'm glad that I can be grouped in there with them.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's so much of it is about opportunity, mm-hmm. you know, and I'm from a very, very small rural school in East Tennessee. And there were not as many opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, I always thought that my kids wouldn't be at a big giant school. CHS just felt so giant to mm-hmm. me. Coming to Cookeville was a big city. And so, but seeing them succeed and seeing them get plugged in and find that community is key. And I think Putnam County, I think CHS does a really good job of that. Mm-hmm. But I know that there's so many opportunities that's an advantage.
Yeah.
I mean, that you don't see in a very small school.
Well, and there are a lot of kids that wouldn't be able to have that kind of exposure otherwise. Mm-hmm. For a lot of these kids, we do two recitals a year, and for some of their families, it's the first time they've ever been exposed to a performance, a live mm-hmm. performance.
Mm-hmm.
So I just feel really lucky that the program exists. And that kids who might not have these opportunities get to be part of it.
Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons I love public school. I'm a product of public education and I'm a fan because you do have those things. So in high school, I played basketball just because of my height, but I also got involved in the theater mm-hmm. because, well, I signed up because I thought I was going to get out of class more. Building the set, but then I enjoyed it, mm-hmm. you know, and it was one of those things that we had an opportunity and the English teacher taught it for a class period, mm-hmm. but then I enjoyed it and I did it for 4 years.
Right.
And so I think having all those different opportunities to, you know, get people plugged in and it's worth it.
I mean, it's team building and it is finding your family. And like I said, I don't expect these kids to be, I hope that they'll improve, and I do see great improvement in their technique and in their skill level over the course of 4 years. But what's more important to me is that they leave my classroom, and for the rest of their lives, they carry that feeling of I belonged, mm-hmm. and I had a place that I loved in high school.
Yeah, and some of them go on to open their own dance studios,
and some of them
as you
do.
Mentioned. So they are, there are yeah. some that are carrying it with them
yeah.
beyond high school, so... So what's next? We've got a few seconds left. What's next for the dance program?
Well, as soon as we get back to school in August, that very first week, my Dance 4 kids will hold their choreography showcase auditions, and then we will cast it that weekend, and we will have 6 weeks to rehearse, and in September they will have a show. And so they are already prepping. That's actually their final, is they have to present, they have to make a proposal for what they're going to do in the fall. So
right in, yep, right in from the summer into the fall.
We're going in there immediately. So
good, good. Well, I appreciate you coming out and educating me and hopefully the listeners on dance. But well, it's very nice to meet you.
It's nice to meet you too.
Yeah,
thank you for having me.
Yeah. Thank you.